Did you know that having a low credit score can cost you a fortune? It's true. Bad credit is expensive. Hi, I'm Rob West. With inflation and high interest rates, it's more important than ever to keep your credit score as high as possible, and you won't believe how much money that can save you. I have the numbers for you. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, first off, you should know that the best reason to have great credit is not the money you save, but because God's Word tells us to. Proverbs 3:27 tells us, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in your power to do it." That means pay back your debts in a timely manner if you're able. If you can't, go to your creditors and tell them your situation and ask for more time or a different payment plan. Don't hide from them. So let's define what is and isn't a good credit score. FICO, the largest and best-known company determining credit scores, uses a total range from 300 to 850 for its scores. A good score falls between 670 and 739. A fair score is 580 to 669, and poor is 300 to 570. Now, you really don't want to be in any of those ranges if you can help it. That's because lenders determine the interest rates they will offer you based on your credit score. It's one number that can have a huge impact on your life. You want to have a very good score between 740 and 799 to get the very best interest rate offers. Above that, 800 to 850 gives you bragging rights, but not much in the way of lower rates. All of this has become a lot more important in the last 18 months as the Federal Reserve ratcheted up interest rates in a misguided attempt to bring down inflation. That resulted in much higher rates for mortgages, auto and personal loans, and credit cards. But remember, the higher your credit score, the less you'll have to pay in interest on those balances. So what if you were able to raise your score by just 100 points? How much could that save you? Well, let's look at how this works with a mortgage first. Let's say you have a 640 credit score. Today, you would probably get an interest rate of around 8% for a $300,000 30-year fixed mortgage. But if your score is 740, just 100 points higher, you might expect to get a rate closer to 7%. That means for that same $300,000 mortgage, your monthly payment would drop around $200. And over the 30 years of the loan, you'd save about $72,000 in interest. Now let's look at a five-year, $5,000 personal loan. Your credit score, again, is only 640. You could expect an interest rate of almost 20%, but raise your score 100 points and that rate drops to about 12.5%. That would mean a drop of $21 in monthly interest, saving you nearly $1,275 over the life of the loan. Okay, one more. Credit cards. Your 640 credit score will get you an interest rate of around 24% today. If you're holding a $5,000 balance, your monthly interest charge alone would be around $100. But a very good credit score, 740 or higher, could get a rate closer to 20%. That would lower your monthly interest charge to $83, saving you more than $200 a year. Of course, we would hope that you're not carrying any credit card balance and that you pay it off in full each month. That would save a whole lot more. Now, what are some other benefits of having a very good credit score? Well, it can also determine what you have to pay for home and auto insurance. The higher your score, the lower your premiums because you're seen as more responsible. Also, employers now use candidates' credit scores in their hiring decisions. One with a high credit score might be offered a job over someone else, all other qualifications being equal. That also translates into more money in your pocket. Okay, so that's the why for raising credit scores. Now for the how. For starters, simply pay all of your bills on time and keep any credit card balance below 30% of your available credit. Your score will gradually increase. Now, you might have a low score because you don't have much of a credit history. You can build a history and raise your score by getting a secured credit card. That's a card with a credit limit equal to the amount of money you deposit in a designated savings account, and the bank uses it as collateral. It will then allow you to make charges on the card up to that limit. But don't. Instead, just make one routine budgeted charge a month, like your electric bill. Then pay the balance in full when the bill comes in. Again, your credit score will gradually rise. I hope that helps you understand the impact of having a high credit score. Your calls are next, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
What are your goals for 2024? Learning a new language? Starting a business? It's good to take inventory of your life every year to see whether you're making progress personally, professionally. But it's good to remind ourselves that our plans and our goals should always be bathed in prayer. The book of Proverbs gives us words of wisdom from King Solomon to his son. Chapter 16. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. You see, we can make all sorts of plans for the new year, but we must rely on the Lord for them to come to fruition. So present everything to God. Trust that whatever He establishes for you will result in your good and His glory. Get encouragement daily with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Progressive elites in Hollywood, big tech, mainstream media, and higher academia are lying to our next generation. They want to convince our young people that America's biblical foundation is offensive, outdated, and must be overthrown. Your gift today will unleash AFA action to share the timeless truth of why protecting the biblical family is essential to the survival of the American Republic. You'll also get the free DVD and booklet set, Progressive Threat to the American Republic. Visit AFAaction.net.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. All right, it's time to take your calls and questions today. The number, 800-525-7000. That's right, we have two lines open. We're ready for you at 800-525-7000. We'll help you look at your financial issue, question, conundrum in light of God's Word and help you apply biblical wisdom to make a confident decision. Call right now, 800-525-7000. 7,000. Hey, before we dive in today, you know, in a new year, one of the top New Year's resolutions is always to get on track with your finances, build a stronger financial foundation. And, you know, that always begins with spending less than you earn. You see, once you understand that God owns it all and that you're a steward and money is a tool, living within your means is the key to every financial success. And you can't do that without a plan, which means this is the time for you to put that budget in place, that spending plan. Go ahead and figure out what you have coming in, especially in light of inflation, which, by the way, is cumulative. Remember, even as it comes down, we're still building on top of last year's inflation, and that's on top of the year before, which, by the way, was over 9%. So things are more expensive now. Even if inflation was at zero, we'd still be paying higher prices, which means we need to revisit that spending plan. Well, the best way to do that is right there inside the FaithFi app. It's why we built it. It's why we We have a team of developers improving it all the time. You can download it today at faithfi.com. Just click app. That's faithfi.com. Click app. Or head to your app store and search for FaithFi, FaithFi, in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. You'll find a beautiful interface, simple to use. There's three money management approaches, and one I'm confident will fit your personality and approach. So check it out today. Download FaithFi in your App Store. All right, let's dive in. We're going to begin today in Alabama. Hi, Kay. You're our first caller. Go right ahead.
Hi there. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for calling.
I was actually wondering, because I've been through over a decade of financial abuse, and research shows that it's one of the hardest unseen abuses to overcome. Mm. So I'm kind of in a position where I'm starting off or having to reestablish with a low income. And I was wondering if there's any type of investment opportunities with just a smaller amount that I can be able to receive returns to keep some, but then reinvest the other. And then also maybe any other ideas that you have for someone with low income.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Kay. And I'm so sorry to hear about what you've experienced in the past. Do you feel like, without getting into the details, that you're beyond the issues that have caused you financial harm in the past?
For the most part.
Okay. Yeah. So even though you don't have a lot, at least we're building from a healthy place, hopefully financially, and you have control over the income that you have coming into you. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, very good. Mm-hmm. First things first, I love investing, but I also want to make sure that you have some of those key building blocks in place, starting with a good understanding of your income and your expenses. Do you have a written budget, or have you taken time to really get all of that into a spending plan?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And are you able to balance your monthly expenses, including those things you don't get a bill for, and perhaps even some of the non-recurring charges like a quarterly insurance payment? Is all that in the plan?
Yes, but every once in a while, I will come short a little bit for
it. Sure. Yeah. No, I certainly understand that. Great. So that's a great first step. Do you then, secondly, have any savings, anything that's liquid, that's beyond just what you're spending day to day, that's set aside?
It's very small.
Okay.
But yes,
all right.
Sir.
Yeah. So that's really the place to begin, even before we think about investing. I'd love for you to get, and I know this is probably going to sound, overwhelming, but I'd love for you to get to a place where you have 3 to 6 months worth of expenses in that emergency fund before you start thinking about investing, because that's really going to be the key to you being able to cover those unexpected expenses that come along the way. So we're not having to pull money out of investments, perhaps at a loss because, they've only been in there a short time and the market's down, or worse, taking on debt to cover unplanned expenses. And so even if it's $25 a month, I'd love for you to just set up a separate savings account, either with your bank or maybe with an online bank where you can get some interest, connect it or link it electronically to your checking account, and let's try to set up some automatic savings going in there and make some progress toward building that up. That's really going to be key. Now, once that's in place, let me just ask, do you have any debt whatsoever today?
Just some medical and some student loans.
Okay. And are you current on both of those? Are you actively paying toward them?
No, sir. I've kept in touch with them, though.
Okay. So are your student loans out of deferral and you are supposed to be paying on them, or are you still in a deferral status?
In a deferral status.
Okay. And will that continue for some time?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Very good. And then the medical debts, what is the status of those?
I have not been paying on them, and someone told me that I may be able to receive some financial assistance for them.
Okay. All
right. But they're not extreme costs.
Yeah.
though.
Okay, great. Well, at some point, it'd be good once you're able to go ahead and establish communication with them. They'll likely be very willing to work with you either on a reduced payback or at least on a monthly payment. But it'd be great if you could start making some progress there when you're ready. Beyond that, do you have access to a company-sponsored retirement plan or anything that would allow you to save for the long term on a tax-deferred basis?
Not at the moment, but I do plan to work somewhere soon that I believe I will be receiving those benefits.
Okay, great. Yeah, so that would be good. I mean, we're not ready for that right now because of that emergency fund in particular. We need to really get that in place, at least get 1 month's expenses and then on your way to 3 to 6. And I'd love for you to start making some progress toward the medical debt. But once you've got the emergency fund at a minimum in place, then I think that's the time, hopefully, if you have a company-sponsored plan available, especially if there's some matching involved where you'd get, you know, some sort of, you know, 50 cents to a dollar for dollar match up to a certain amount, you're going to want to take advantage of that because that's a 50 or 100% return immediately. You're not going to get that anywhere else. So that would be a great opportunity for you, but I don't think we're quite there yet. Apart from that, you could do what's called a Roth IRA, which you'd probably want to open at a Fidelity or a Schwab. You could put it into a faith-based investing fund, or you could use a robo-advisor at Schwab. They call it the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios, and it would just give you, you know, some indexed exchange-traded funds. This is just a basket of stocks that mirror the broad market indexes, so you just capture the broad moves of the market, and over time, you'll do well. I was just looking this morning at the last dozen years of S&P 500 returns. So the S&P 500 is one of those most well-known indexes. It's a basket of the 500 largest companies here in the United States. And if we look over the last 12 years, 9 of those 12 years have been positive, in some cases more than 20% positive. Only 3 of them have been negative. And so that's the idea, is that if we're investing over the long haul, properly diversified, but we're taking a long-term perspective, we'll do well. Whether it's in an index fund or an actively managed fund or a faith-based investing fund. But I think your key right now is to get that emergency fund in place. And if you want, I'd be happy to connect you with a certified Christian financial counselor at our expense to help you review your budget, make sure you're on track with the plan, and set up a process to control the flow of money in and out. So stay on the line. We'll get your information and get you connected with a CERT CFC. We'll be right back.
American Family Studios was started back in 2011 as a way to advance the Christian worldview into an increasingly media-rich culture.
Media is like such a powerful tool to communicate the gospel. I love writing stories, getting in my office, and just thinking, how can we portray this concept of who God's character is? And to get to use the gifts that God has given me is really a joy.
AmericanFamilyStudios.net.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. SoundMindInvesting.org.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial, helping you see God as your ultimate treasure and money a tool to accomplish His purposes. Call right now, 800-525-7000. We'll look forward to hearing from you today so you can get involved in the conversation. Coming up in just a few moments, we'll talk to Paul in New York. He wants to find out how to get out of credit card debt. Also, Hank in Illinois has a challenge with a life insurance policy, wants to know where to turn. But first, let's go to New York. Michelle, you'll be our next caller. How can I help?
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Thank you for taking my call. My husband recently retired from the military with over 20 years of service. He receives a small VA pension in his retirement. I work full time and we're able to live off of that. He was lucky enough to find employment in his field. We're excited. And so he'll be getting that income. Right now, we have $47,807 on our mortgages at 2.5. I recently completed my doctorate, and to do that, I had to take out 3 student loans, and their interest rates vary from 5.2, 6.6, and 6.0, and I owe $45,032. So our question is, where do we start? The income that he'll be getting from his employment, we're hoping to just kind of put it in one area.
Okay, yeah. So this would really be surplus because your bills are covered before even considering this income he'll be receiving. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. And what is the interest rate on the mortgage?
2.5.
Okay, yeah. So you have a great rate there, obviously, and it looks even better now that rates are quite a bit higher. But in any environment, 2.5% is phenomenal. You know, I like the idea of you all attacking that student loan debt. I mean, obviously, the interest rates are at least double, if not in a little bit more than that, in the case of a couple of these loans. And, you know, you get that knocked out, you're going to save. From a financial standpoint, you will save money, and then it would give you the ability to snowball this where you take what you were sending, to the student loans, and you just roll that right into the mortgage and accelerate that payoff. But just given the ability, you know, to eradicate these student loans at a significantly higher interest rate makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, I love the idea of you all being completely debt-free, including your home, and knowing that you have it free and clear, but I suspect you've got quite a bit of equity there, which is great. And given that low interest rate, I think, for me, going after the student loans makes a lot of sense. But give me your thoughts on that, and what have you and your husband talked about in light of this?
So my husband and I, what we talked about, that's what I was thinking. But he was saying that if we attacked the mortgage, and by the way, I called the rep at the mortgage company and they laughed. Why would you want to pay this off? You have a great rate. And
sure.
I didn't know how to respond. So
yeah.
He is thinking that if we attack the mortgage, the income that we receive from the mortgage could help us with the 3 student loans.
Yeah, no, I certainly understand that. I think, though, the key here, I mean, there's not a right or wrong decision here. Whenever you're paying down debt or paying off debt, that's a good thing. And to answer the question of the mortgage servicer, I mean, I think at the end of the day, there's the financial side of this, and then there's the non-financial side. The financial side is just the dollars and cents of, okay, you're paying 2.5%. So what could you do with that money elsewhere? And he would probably say, well, you could go out and invest it. And, even if you did only 6 or 8%, you're still doing quite a bit better than the mortgage. You've got the money there. You could pay it off at any time, but you could get a better long-term rate of return. And that's true. You know, if we look historically, you know, that would be an appropriate way to look at this. But then there's the non-financial side, which he's not considering, or she, and that is that there's just a lot of peace of mind that comes from knowing you're unencumbered, that you own your home, and that, you know, if we look at Scripture, although borrowing is not a sin, there's a lot of warnings about debt, and I think we should pursue the idea of being debt-free over time. So when you factor both of those in, I think it's perfectly appropriate to say we're going to get out of debt, including paying off this low interest rate mortgage, just because we want to be out of debt. Now, somebody else who says, no, I like that 2.5% rate, I'm going to take that money and put it to work for me, I wouldn't argue with that either. It's really a personal conviction. But at the end of the day, you know, when you pay off either of these loans, you're going to have more money available, because not only will you have your husband's income, but you'll have what you would have been sending to service those loans at a minimum. So in the case of the mortgage, that's your mortgage payment based on the amortization schedule. For the student loans, that's the, you know, monthly payment that you're going to have. In either case, you'll be able to add those minimum amounts to his surplus income to go after the other debt. So again, there's not a right or wrong here, but I think just given that the interest rates are at least double on the student loans, that's where I would probably prioritize my attention.
Thank you. Do you have time for another question?
Yeah, go right ahead.
We have two children, 6 years old, and then we have two foster children who are free for adoption, and we're considering adoption. Our children have a savings account, yeah, and a CD in their name. We're wondering how to financially plan for all four children.
Yeah, and are you thinking specifically for college, Michelle, or just generally?
Just generally right now. They're all very young.
Okay. Well, you know, a couple of thoughts. Number one is your ability to just be financially sound for you and your husband is the best thing you can do for your kids. And so making sure you're out of debt, you're following the Lord's leading in your giving, you know, you're saving for the long term. I mean, all of those things are really key. Now, in terms of your ability to set something aside for the kids, you know, if you wanted it more generally available, rather than putting it in a custodial account where it automatically becomes their money at the age of majority, usually 18, where they might not be, and let's pray they are, but they may not be spiritually or financially mature enough to handle it. I just like the idea of you guys setting aside a separate joint account for each of the kids in your name, but just earmark it for the kids, and then just set up an automatic transfer into that, and then invest it in some index funds, like through the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios, or you could buy some faith-based investing funds, and you can find a list of those at our website, faithfi.com. But I think that'd be the approach that I'd take, Michelle. Hey, thanks for calling today. Back with more questions right after this. Stay with us.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org, or call 800-557-1985.
As I say so repeatedly, the Word of God is so rich. You read something, you've read it before, and then one time you read it, and bam! Something comes out like a Sugar Ray Leonard jab, right in the eyes. Whoa, Lord, where did that come from?
The Hamilton Quarter with Abraham Hamilton III, weekday afternoons at 5 Central on American Family Radio, or grab the podcast at AFR.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net and sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
You know, as we think about our role as stewards of God's money, it's a high calling. You see, we're money managers for the King of Kings. What an opportunity we have to be found faithful as we turn to God's Word to navigate every facet of our lives, including our role as managers of God's money. Well, the good news, there's all kinds of principles. In fact, 2,300 verses that deal with money and possessions. So when we look at the big themes of Scripture, our goal, our aim is to live rich toward God. That's right. It comes from Luke 12, the parable of the rich fool, where we're to value our eternity, to value God over everything else. He is our abundance, not just the access to our abundance. He is our abundance. And now money is not our aim. It's not an end. It's a means to an end, to glorify God, to provide for our families, to meet the need of others. Well, that's the opportunity we have and what we want to encourage you in each day on this broadcast as we gather together to mine the Scriptures and apply God's principles and wisdom to your daily financial choices. By the way, if you want to check out more on FaithFi, our ministry here that's listener-supported, you can do so at faithfi.com. All kinds of resources. You can jump into the community, post a question, answer someone else's question, provide encouragement, and check out our FaithFi app. It's all at faithfi.com. All right, let's head back to the phones today. Awaiting patiently in New York is Paul. Paul, how can I assist you, sir? Hi, Paul. You with us? All right. Let's check that line, and we'll see if we can get Paul on next. Hank in Illinois. Go ahead, sir.
God is good. You know it. Yes, Rob, sir. I liked your show. I've listened to you, started listening to you about 3 months ago. Here's what I've got. I'm 69 years old, and I bought a life insurance 20-year term 20 years ago, and I had the cash surrender value option. Okay. And the 20 years is up. I've got a check for $16,945 from the life insurance company. But when I saw what they were doing, I should have been getting $17,600. So I called them up and I said, hey, where's the rest of the money at? And they said that I automatically went into a extended term insurance when mine canceled out. But I dot my I's and cross my T's, and I stopped. I called them a month before this term insurance was canceling and stopped the check so they couldn't get the money out of the account anymore. And I also told them to cancel this policy as of the date, which would have been November 4th, 2023.
Okay.
And then they still got the $514.22 for the extended term. They went through that. Have you heard that before?
You know, I'm not, but I'm not surprised. I mean, obviously, you know, this is unfortunately your word against theirs. Do you have any documentation? I mean, obviously you went in and pulled the ability for them to continue to draw out the premium. But do you have any documentation on your notice that you gave to them at that point?
I do. And then they just sent me a surrender cash value letter maybe about 3 weeks ago. And after I talked to them for an hour, and they sent me, and it said 17.6, but when I got the check from them, it was 16,945. So they did get the premium.
Okay. Well, what I would do is try to escalate this to another department, just see if you can, you know, make sure you've got all your documentation in one place so you can, you know, talk them through what transpired. Hopefully it's just a clerical error and somebody with some authority to override what the computer screen says can, you know, make a decision in your favor to give you the full amount. Obviously, if you need to go beyond that, the place you would file a complaint would be with the Department of Financial Services there in the state of New York, who oversees the, you know, insurance companies. And, you know, you would go to, you know, their website, dfs.ny.gov/complaint, and you could file a consumer complaint at that point. And you could do the letter of authorization and basically share your concern, and then somebody will follow up with you. But I'd probably try to avoid that and at least take one more step to see if you can escalate this to somebody who'd be willing to take another look at it and see if you can get the full amount.
Okay. The bottom line is I just got another 20-year term from the same company.
Okay.
Does that help me any? Does that...
Well, sure. I mean, I think the fact that you're an existing customer, I mean, you know, you've already put the policy in force, so they're not going to benefit further. But the fact that you're an existing customer never hurts with your, you know, making the case that they should, you know, award you this full amount and find, you know, take your word for it and hopefully make good on it. So, yeah, I think you've done all the right things. Now it's just a matter of finding the person that can help you. And if you can't, let's hope it doesn't come to that, then I think your next step is to file a complaint with the DFS there in New York. So all the best to you, Hank. I hope this works out, but I'm confident if you stay at it, you'll probably get them to take some action for you. Thanks for being on the program, sir, and for your kind remarks about the program. Let's head to New York, actually, and talk to Paul. Thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. I have some family members who they're kind of in over their head a little bit, and they were just wondering if there's a credit financial agency that you would recommend.
Yeah, Paul. So is this credit card debt?
Yeah, most of it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, there is. So what we generally recommend, and this, you know, there's not any kind of magic number, but you know, just in our experience, kind of the number there is around 4,000. If you've got less than 4,000 in credit card or consumer debt, you know, usually just snowballing it yourself is the best way to go. And that's just a term that simply means you start with your spending plan or your budget, you eliminate all opportunities for unnecessary spending to free up margin, you pay the minimums on all the accounts, but you focus on the one with the smallest balance, not the highest interest rate, but the smallest balance. And you take all that surplus you freed up and you apply it to that smallest balance. And the reason is that the studies show that the plan that you'll complete is the one that you'll actually continue to make progress on without giving up along the way. And that snowball approach where you focus on the smallest balance allows you to see some early wins by paying one off in full, which gives you the motivation to keep going. If you've got more than 4,000 in total credit card or consumer debt, our friends at Christian Credit Counselors would be the place that I would recommend you go. You'll find them on the web at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. ChristianCreditCounselors.org. What'll happen is through a debt management program, the debts won't be paid off and replaced with a new debt. That's debt consolidation. They'll stay right where they are. And then through the credit counseling agency, in this case, Christian Credit Counselors, each of these creditors have a credit counseling rate that's lower than their prevailing rate. So let's say it's 22% today and it comes down to 8 or 10%. You know, you'll in many cases cut these interest rates in half, and then you'll pay one monthly payment through Christian Credit Counselors. They'll then send it on to each of the creditors, and the combination of that level payment plus the reduction in interest rate will allow you to pay this off on average 80% faster. We've got hundreds and hundreds of listeners that have used them very successfully, and I have complete confidence in the team there at Christian Credit Counselors. So check them out online, ChristianCreditCounselors.org. And Paul, we appreciate you being on the program. Jim in Arkansas, coming your way next. We'll be right back.
The Middle East, that's one part of the world we need to pay attention to, especially the country of Israel. Each week, I'll help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. I'll bring you important information about security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, ministries happening on the ground, and much more. I'm John Riley. Join me for the Middle East Report Special Edition every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio as I connect you to the people, places, and geography of what we read in God's Word.
The world around us is constantly challenging the way we think. That's why we need a constant source of information that's based on the unchanging Word of God. I'm Jeff Shambley, and I invite you to join me for The Stand Radio, a weekly program that highlights the latest trends in culture, faith, and family. You'll hear insightful interviews with a biblical worldview application. The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
I'm glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. You know, everything we do here at AFR starts with a biblical worldview. And that's certainly true as we approach money management as stewards of God's money. Hey, we've got some lines open today with whatever you're thinking about. We'd love to tackle your financial question. You can give us a call right now with lines open at 800-525-7000. Here in our last segment of the broadcast, we've got room for a couple more questions. 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's head out to Arkansas. Jim, thanks for your call, sir. How can I help?
Thank you. Thank you. God bless. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you.
I'm 62 and a half years old in good health. I have no mortgage, no debt, no credit card debt. And I recently took the four stocks that I had in my Fidelity account and put them entirely in Fidelity cash, and which is about $211,000. And one is rightfully concerned about the economic collapse and concerns and the Middle East, and you have it. And it's like, oh, dear Jesus, God, it's like, should I just keep it safe and sound in Fidelity cash for a while, or should I take a chunk of it, maybe put it in a CD, and if everything goes, you know, to Hades in a handbasket, is a CD even safe? Is there a chance of losing that?
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, Jim, and obviously I share your concerns just about the direction we're headed on a lot of fronts, and that would include fiscally here in the United States, just with our mounting debt, which, by the way, the interest on that debt is about to be our largest federal expenditure, even eclipsing the defense spending that we do, and that's concerning. You know, I think the rule of thumb typically is when you get north of 13% of your federal budget, you know, that's where you have some cause for concern. We're at 14, and it's headed higher. Now, I don't think, you know, we're not in a situation where it's beyond repair. We just need wise decision making in Washington, and that's why every election is important. This next one is certainly important because we need leaders that will be fiscally responsible and understand that God's word and the principles there around economics and wealth creation and apply to nations as well as individuals. In fact, a lot of the verses that we read in Scripture around money were written to nations at that time. So we need to heed that counsel. Now, what does that mean for us? Well, you have to put that alongside the idea that despite the challenges, you know, that I just mentioned and others, including a shrinking workforce because of our population size shrinking, we're having less kids and a whole host of other issues, we still are the largest and strongest nation in the world. Our economy is the biggest. And, you know, because of that, and because there is no rival for the U.S. dollar right now that's legitimate, you know, I don't think that we're going anywhere anytime soon. And for that reason, you know, the very best way for you to overcome the effects of inflation, which is eroding your purchasing power, you know, every month, although, you know, you're enjoying probably a decent interest rate in that Fidelity money market, the effects of inflation are best offset through, you know, stock and bond investing or real estate, hard assets, even an allocation to gold. So I think a properly diversified portfolio is still the very best way for you to grow what God has entrusted to you. You know, you have to look at the worst case scenario. I mean, so even if we played this out and you were to say, well, what if the U.S. economy comes crumbling down? Well, if it did, everybody would be in the same situation, you know, and you're not necessarily any better off with that, you know, money under your mattress than you are with it invested. So, you know, I would say that, you know, you could take the most conservative approach, which would be to go ahead and put it in maybe a CD ladder. And you asked about the, you know, the soundness of that approach. Well, you'd be backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government. You say, well, what's that worth? Well, again, if we're grading on a curve against every other nation on the planet, it's still the biggest and strongest. And so I think from that standpoint, I would be comfortable, even though the idea of a debt credit crisis is plausible. I think we're still decades away from that. And again, hopefully we'll course correct along the way. So that would be, you know, as close to risk-free as you can get. And then you move beyond that. As you add risk, you have the potential for a greater return. For me, you know, I mean, at your age, I love the fact that you're debt-free. I love the fact that you've got some liquidity. But if the Lord tarries and you're in good health, you need this money potentially to last for three decades or more. So you have the ability, even at 62, to take a long-term approach, which is what you would need to do in order to, you know, make the decision to invest. So what would I do? I'd probably build a properly diversified portfolio, you know, at 62, where maybe half of it is in high quality corporate and government bonds, 50% of it, maybe 40% in stocks, high quality equities. I'd probably use some of the faith-based investing mutual funds that invest in companies that would be aligned with your values for that 40%, and then I'd put 10% in gold and, you know, take a long-term approach to it and just, you know, try to grow it appropriately that way. But if you said, listen, I'm just not comfortable taking that level of risk, then I think your next option is probably to look to safer investments. There's nothing risk-free, but safer. And I would say that would be either government bonds like treasuries or a CD ladder, you know, where you ladder it over, you know, 6 months, a year, 2 years, 5 years, and try to get, you know, 5% plus across all of it for the next, you know, 5 to 10 years. Does that make sense?
It does. Great. I appreciate you very much.
Okay. Thanks for your call, Jim. We appreciate you checking in with us. Let's head to Tennessee. Hi, Casey. Go ahead.
Hi. I have a question. I'm not sure what to do. I'm thinking of retiring so I can get my money out of the company that I work for now and take the money. And I don't know how much the government takes because I'm not 65 yet. Is there a cutoff where they don't take anything? Or
so is this a 401k, Casey?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so if you pulled the money out, you're not going to pay any penalty at your age because you're over 59 and a half. So there's no penalty. So the only taxes that would be due would be whatever you pull out would be added to your taxable income for the year, and then you'd pay taxes on it just like it was income from your employer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Now, with that said, let me just push back for a second and just ask, is that the best approach? Because, you know, how much do you have in the 401k today?
20,000, not okay. Enough.
All right, 20,000. And what would you use the money for if you pulled it out?
I would pay off. I have 2 credit cards. I want them gone.
Okay.
And I'm still going to work part time.
Okay. And let me ask you this way. Have you corrected the problem that got you into the credit card debt in the first place? I mean, are you confident that if you paid this off, you wouldn't call me back in 6 months and say, guess what? The credit card debt's back.
Yeah, I'm getting a divorce.
Okay. All right. So that was the primary cause as you look back on, you know, why the credit card debt's here. Do you feel like you can balance your budget and live within your means moving forward?
I did fine before I got married.
Okay. All right. That's fair. So
I always had extra money when I was by myself.
Okay. Well, I think that's the key is, you know, I just talked to so many folks and I'm not saying that you're going to go back into debt, but I just hear from so many folks that they take the pressure off by, you know, pulling money out of a 401k or something like that to pay off debt. And they're like, oh, take a big sigh of relief. And then the pattern of overspending continues. And then the credit card debt comes right back, except now they have another loan to boot or, you know, a 401k that's been eliminated, something like that. I certainly understand what you're saying about there's a change that's happening here that is going to give you more control over the money and you're confident you can handle it appropriately. The only other approach would be to say, okay, what if I leave the $20,000 there, let it continue to work for me so that, you know, maybe down the road, it's not 20, but it's 30 or 40. And, you know, you get yourself on a debt management program, which would get the interest rates down. But at the end of the day, if you say, listen, Rob, I just want to be out of debt. And I heard you say that. And that's the most important thing for me. Then, you know, I think the key is just make sure that you understand a couple of things. Number one is you don't want to let the tax bill catch you by surprise. So let's say you're in a 25%, you know, effective tax rate. You know, if you take $20,000 and you owe 25% to Uncle Sam, you need to set aside $5,000 so that doesn't catch you by surprise. And you have that money to, you know, pay in when you file your taxes. And then that would allow you to pay off 15, not 20,000 of the credit card debt. So that's number one. And then number two, let's just really dial in your spending, live on that spending plan, and try to continue to save for the future so you've got something to fall back on, you know, when the unexpected comes. But apart from that, there won't be any penalties. You'll just have that tax bill at the end of the year. Okay.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you much, sir. Have a great day.
And you too, Casey. Thank you so much. I appreciate you calling. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us. We covered a lot of ground today. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to come alongside you each morning here on American Family Radio to talk about our role as stewards, to look to God's word, to encourage one another and realize that as we see God as our ultimate and true treasure, well, money changes its entire focus. It becomes a means to an end to accomplish God's purposes, and that's what we want to encourage you in as we gather together on this program each day. Hey, check out the FaithFi app. You can download it today and set up your spending plan. FaithFi.com. Just click app. On behalf of my team, Jim Henry, Devin Patrick, Robert Youngblood, I'm Rob West. This has been Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.